gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 15 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and this week I'm going to be talking about the Scott Fishbowl and how I use Warp in order to A, plan for the league, and then also how I adjust my strategy as the draft goes on. So it's very easy to look at Warp and be like, oh, this position is better than this other one. It's easy to be like, oh, the green line is the highest, obviously I want to invest in running backs. Or the blue line is the highest, I want to invest in wide receivers. But how do you convert that into roster construction? And then how do you also play off the market of your league? That's what I'm going to be talking through today about the Scott Fishbowl, because hopefully if you're here listening to fantasy podcasts, you've probably heard some stuff about the Scott Fishbowl. So I don't need to go into as much detail about exactly how the league is formatted. Obviously, I will touch on the basics, but if you have listened to some other content creators about it, specifically if you've watched the videos on the South Harmon YouTube about the Scott Fishbowl, you'll be able to understand in general what is going on and strategies that different people are playing for. Before we get into that, I want to talk about our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can sign up for live prize breaks of all sorts of awesome sports memorabilia. All you need to go is to go to signed shit, that's signed sh.it, and use our code HARMON15 to get 15% off at checkout. If you have a wall that is just missing some amazing signed sports memorabilia, if you have a bookshelf that could do with an awesome signed mini helmet or something like that, just head over to Ultimate Autographs by going to signed shit or signed sh.it and enter in for a live prize break that gives you what you're looking for. Once again, that's signed shit, signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout. So to touch briefly on the Scott Fishbowl, it is an industry tournament of all sorts of fantasy football content creators and some fantasy football community members, where the point is, hey, everyone enters, you pay what your normal league dues would be, and it all goes to get presents for children. It is put on by a man whose name is Scott Fish, and every year he goes through and he creates crazy scoring settings. He wants to make it so that way it's not like a normal league, and that's where something like the Warp tool can really come in and help out with understanding, hey, what is going on. So what I'm going to do here is go through my initial plan based on Warp and how I set up the tools and what I was looking at, and then I'm going to go through my first couple days of drafting. So far through my draft, I have gotten through 13 rounds. And so I'm going to talk through how those 13 rounds went, and then also what I'm planning to do to close out this draft. So looking at the Warp, the first thing I always do is just pull up the multi-year graph. The first graph that I actually pulled up was the high roster efficiency. And the high roster efficiency, it was fine. But there was something that was a huge factor that ended up causing me to change it. One of the major rules Scott Fish put into this tournament was that kick return yards and punt return yards are 5 yards to 1 point. What that means is that any player that does a significant amount of kick returning or punt returning has a significantly boosted score. If you just think about even returning 2 kickoffs in a single game, and then you've returned 3 punts. At an average of even just 6 yards per punt and 21 yards per kickoff return, that's a whole like 58 yards, which when you apply that to this scoring setting, all of a sudden means that you have scored 11.8 points. That is a lot of scoring coming out of somebody that has zero offensive production at all. And so when you look at the Scott Fishbowl, if you have your roster efficiency set to high, what that means is that it is going to assume that the most started players at every position are going to be the only players that you want to include. So the way AWARP works is it takes the most started players off of the history of fantasy, and it uses them to start in your league. But when you have really bizarre settings that change the kind of players that you might want to be starting, you need to knock down that roster efficiency. And so in my case, I went all the way down to low, because that is going to include basically any player that was relevant on a team. The way low works is, pretend I was supposed to start 6 wide receivers on every single team. So that would be 72 wide receivers in total. Well, on high, it's going to take the top 72 times 1.2. So that's going to come out to somewhere around like 85. So you need to be in the top 85 started receivers for that week in order to get any warp per game. If in low, it gets doubled. So 72 becomes 144. So you need to be one of the top 144 receivers started in fantasy. And so that encompasses almost every receiver worth anything. That's more than 4 wide receivers per NFL team. And so realistically, like, that's going to just be almost all wide receivers, and especially any wide receiver that had any relevance in fantasy purposes, kick returns or not. So that's why the first thing I do is I bump it to that low number. So now that I've got my warp tool set up, I take a look at it. The running back line and quarterback line are quite high. However, I know I'm picking at the 111. So I know I'm going to miss out on the top tier quarterbacks. It's a super flex league. People are going to value quarterbacks highly, and especially the top tier rushing ones, because the passing scoring settings are that it's 50 yards to a point, but rushing is unchanged. In fact, you even get bonus points per carry. So you include all of that, and the high-level quarterbacks, your Jalen Hurts, your Josh Allen's, Patrick Mahomes, Anthony Richardson, those guys are going to be available at the 111. So I'm already consigned to the fact that, okay, I have a chance at Kyler Murray falling to me, but that's best case scenario. Realistically, I do not have good quarterbacks. But what I do have the opportunity, because I was looking at some ADP beforehand from a deco at the Dynasty Data Lab, is that these running backs fall that late. So in the case of, okay, what am I potentially looking at? I see that that I can potentially bank on taking like a Bijan Robinson. I can take a Breece Hall. I can take I can take one of those guys to fill in, and they have warp up there with the top end quarterbacks. If you project Bijan Robinson to be, say, running back 3 this coming year, he doesn't even need to be running back 1, but he's coming off the board as running back 2. But running back 3 is the equivalent of quarterback 3 in terms of warp in these settings. So those guys that are going and drafting that 5th quarterback, so they're drafting that Anthony Richardson, well, drafting that Bijan is actually a better play. And so the fact that everyone's going so quarterback heavy is something that I see as an inefficiency, but it plays right into what I want. The fact that I am able to get these running backs that people are maybe a little bit more scared of because of these scoring settings, I know I'm still making a difference to my team. So my plan going into it is I'm going to see if Kyler Murray falls to me. Kyler Murray, according to the ADP of now, is actually falling past then. So he's falling to position 15. And position 15 is obviously after my 11. But at the time, I was looking much more at, I was not expecting Kyler Murray to be available, or it was going to be 50-50. So my plan was, I'm going to do Bijan Robinson. I'm going to hope what comes around at the 202 is a Breece Hall, and I'm just going to run off of that and hope that I'm able to build an awesome RB room. So after that, I'm looking at a couple other targets. Rashid Shaheed is an absolute top scorer. If you've heard any other shows about Scott Fishbowl, they're going to talk about how Rashid Shaheed was like the number six player last year and stuff like that. I personally think he's a league winner. I think that he is the kind of player that you could justify drafting in the first round. So I obviously want to take him above ADP, and in fact, at the time, I wanted to take him well above ADP. He seems to have settled out to be taken on average at the 703, but at the time of initially drafting Scott Fishbowl, he was being drafted regularly in the 9th round, 10th round, things like that. So I wanted to go well ahead, and day of Monday, he even got boosted up. He was going off the 605 when on drafts that made it through on that Monday and Tuesday that everything came out. So I was like, all right, I need to potentially look at getting him at that 4-5 turn. So that ended up being my plan, is, all right, I want to get two running backs. I probably want to get Rashid Shaheed at that 4-5 turn. But now I need to figure out how to fill out the rest of my team. So I have the third round and fifth round picks still. So the third round, I realized I want to try and have an edge with every roster spot that I am forced to start. So in this case, it is you are forced to start one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end. And then you have a super flex and a bunch of flex positions. So if I can have one stud in each of those starting four positions, and then I can potentially have another quarterback who's decent in that other super flex, all the other flex positions can become these returners with upside. I mentioned how in my previous episode number 4 on kick returners, how I expect the stats for kick returners to go through the roof compared to previous years this coming year. And so in this scoring format, it makes sense. Replacement level players are going to score around 12 to 13 points. You know how many points I expect from somebody that returns 3 kickoffs in 1 week? I expect 12 to 13 points. So any player that does kickoff returns and punt returns is going to be better than replacement level. Any player that does kickoff returns and has some even mediocre role on offense is going to do better than replacement. So all of a sudden it opens up all these possibilities of players that, because I've done this research into who I think will be kick returners and punt returners in previous episodes of this show, all of a sudden now I am well suited to go, I can get all of these guys and I can build an absolute monster of a team in these later rounds where anybody could be flexible. So it becomes even more important to make it so all those guys that I'm taking shots on for, these are going to be your kick returners, these are going to be your punt returners, and I'm playing the ones that have the role and have an upside in their offense. I need to make sure that I at least have one of every position locked down, so that way I am guaranteed to be able to be flexible with all those kick returners that are going to be filling out my roster. So looking at ADP, I noticed that right there at the 302, I have the ability to get one of the top tight ends. It's probably not going to be Sam Laporta or Travis Kelce, but personally, I think Mark Andrews is probably the tight end 2, who has the potential to be the tight end 1, who is somebody that is being very underdrafted simply because the past 2 years he's missed towards the end of the season. He's gotten a little banged up, and Isaiah Likely has done well in his stead, and everyone thinks of Isaiah Likely as, oh, he's just essentially the guy that comes in when Mark Andrews gets hurt. I don't think it's necessarily a when Mark Andrews gets hurt. I think it's still an if. And I think that Mark Andrews is an amazing player if he gets into your lineup. So my thought is Mark Andrews tends to go after the 302. So I want to target him with my 302. And if I don't get him, I am now looking at what other tight end is still available. Maybe some people have passed on Trey McBride or Dalton Kincaid If I have to go all the way down to Kyle Pitts, I'm not quite as sure about that. But if all of those tight ends went off, I can now look at, okay, let me potentially get myself a Jaden Daniels. I can potentially get myself a Jordan Love or somebody like that where I've got this quarterback with upside. And so that's my initial plan, is let me go through and draft two running backs off the top and then get a tight end, Rashid Shaheed, and a quarterback out of the 3, 4, and 5. After that point, I am mostly looking at what can I do to fill out my team in terms of either some extra running backs because of the running back warp, and then returners with upside. So that's exactly how I'm entering this draft. And so now let me pull up how my draft went. So round one, it ended up being that quarterback heavy that I was expecting. But luckily, Bijan Robinson ended up falling to me at the 111. And so I took Bijan Robinson at the 111. And I'm looking at the guy on the turn, and I'm hoping he falls for the same trap everybody else in the league is falling into. Try to get quarterback, try to get wide receiver. But he ends up taking Breece Hall and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So he took one wide receiver that I didn't want, but he still took Breece Hall from me. So I racked my brain here on the 202. Did I really want to take Jonathan Taylor almost like eight picks above his ADP? And then as I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I trust in my analysis. I trust that Jonathan Taylor is going to be an awesome running back. Running backs have the best scoring in this league. When you're looking at running back four, that running back four is going to be better than the quarterback four. That running back four is going to be better than the wide receiver three. It's going to be equivalent to tight end two if all of our tight ends hit that tight end two. Like, we aren't as confident in tight end this year. Those top tiers kind of fell off a little bit last year. And based off ADP, I know I can get one of the top tight ends that I think is going to be able to hit that later on. So you know what? I have to go in. I have to take Jonathan Taylor. And so I am locked into that two running back to start strategy. It wasn't the Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall that I was aiming for. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, yes, I need to do this. And the other thing is, I'm picking at the 111 and 202, so I'm picking in the 11 spot. When you're picking at the edge of a draft board, you need to disregard ADP. Not like totally disregard it, but if you're picking in the middle of the board, you have 12 picks before it comes back around to you. If you're picking at the 7 or 6 spot, if somebody is 12 picks out of ADP, you should not draft them, because they will make it back to you on average, on what you would expect, things like that. But if you're picking at the end, you now have 20 picks before it comes back to you. And so I can look at any player in the next 20 picks by ADP and go, all right, if I don't get them now, I'm going to miss out on them. And so I can choose who I think is the best player in that whole range. Even though Jonathan Taylor was going and is going on average at the 209, I'm not going to miss out on that value by having him still be there when it comes back around to my pick. So I am fine bypassing ADP and just say, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor. He's the best player on the board, and I don't need to worry about the ADP of like, oh, is this too high above it or anything like that? Because when you're playing at the end, you just disregard ADP. You pick the best players that you think are still on the board and what you need to build your team. So a bunch of players go off and we get back to the 302, and Mark Andrews is still sitting there. And my options here are to go Mark Andrews or to go Jaden Daniels. And so I'm sitting here looking at this, and this was actually a tough decision for me. And the way I was thinking through it was, I know that there are some later round quarterbacks. If I need to target, I can get some upside. So in these scoring settings, I've already identified that Deshaun Watson, I can get Russell Wilson, I can get Daniel Jones, And if I need to build a quarterback room out of that, I can. So I can pass on Jaden Daniels, take the upside play in Mark Andrews, and do that. Because if I don't take Mark Andrews here, I'm going to miss out on the Dalton Kincaid. I'm going to miss out on Kyle Pitts. I'm going to miss out on Evan Ingram. In this case, I even would have missed out on George Kittle. So I felt like that the difference between that top-tier tight end versus the tight end that would be returned back to me, knowing I have to start one, is going to be such a great difference between that top-tier and that lower-tier tight end. Given the higher tight end warp, we do have boosted tight end PPR up to 1.5 points per reception. In addition, with a 1 point per tight end first down, that I felt like that these top tier tight ends, especially this Mark Andrews, is going to be somebody that is going to perform much better than my down tier from a Jaden Daniels to a different quarterback, even if it's all the way down in that Deshaun Watson tier, and that I can try and make up some of that value elsewhere. I come back around to the 411 pick, and I actually have a decision on my hands. So obviously, I've mentioned at this 4-5 turn, I want to take Rashid Shaheed. But I also want to make sure that I take Rashid Shaheed and the guy at the turn doesn't take him on me. Because if that guy is thinking the same way that I am thinking, he's going to be like, hey, at the turn, if I take him here at the 501, Rashid Shaheed's not going to be here at the 612. ADP as of this day already has his ADP bumped up to 605, so he's going in the mid part of the sixth. And the quarterbacks on the board, my other option, I want to get myself a top tier quarterback. Well, all three of Caleb Williams, Justin Herbert, and Tua Tagovailoa are on the board. So you know what? I look at that and I go, I could have any of these three and be fine at the quarterback position. And if I know that I want to take Rashid Shaheed with one of these picks, I might as well take him now, make sure the guy at the turn doesn't take him. And sure, he can go two quarterbacks. He hasn't taken a quarterback yet. That's why I'm concerned about him taking two quarterbacks. But I only want one of the three anyway. So let him make that decision for me. So I draft Rashid Shaheed at the 411. And then guess what? On the turn, he takes Caleb Williams and DJ Moore. So he goes for a stack play, leaves me a choice of Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa. So I go Justin Herbert just because I think his upside is a little better than Tua's, and I'm happy with it. I didn't care whether I had Caleb Williams or Justin Herbert or Tua, like I just wanted one of those guys. And so now through five rounds, I have two top tier warp producers in my running back position. I have my top tier tight end in my tight end position. I have who I think will genuinely be the wide receiver one in this scoring in my wide receiver position. And I've got a solid quarterback. I don't think he's going to be anything better than like quarterback 10 to 12. Like the range is really like 10 to 14 for Justin Herbert in my mind. But he's still solid. He's not going to be a huge hole for my team. And the advantage that I got everywhere else should be able to make up for it. So, a bunch of players go off the board. It was mentioned in chat that Rashid Shaheed would have been taken at the 509, so good. Glad I got him at the 411. And a bunch of players go off, comes back to me at the 611. I missed out on Deshaun Watson, who was one of my targets for a later round quarterback with some upside, especially with these scoring settings. So I'm looking at, okay, what do I want to do? There's nobody in my mind that is worth taking here at the 6-7 turn over getting some running backs that have serious upside. Because of this warp, because of how many points the running backs get with 0.25 points per carry, getting running backs that are just going to carry the ball a bunch of times is highly beneficial. So I decide to go with Kenneth Walker at the 6-11, and then Najee Harris at the 7-2. The reason I did that is because I project both of them to carry the ball a bunch of times. I'm not necessarily looking for somebody that is going to be a world beater at the running back position. I just want them to carry the ball like 15 to 20 times per game and just keep running it over and over and over again. If you run the ball 15 times per game and you only get 4 points per carry, you're still getting 6 points off the yardage. You're still getting another almost 4 points off of just purely the carries. And with a touchdown, you're easily up into 16. So if you average a touchdown every other game, that's a 13 point per game average. I'm shooting for that with a little bit of upside. If Kenneth Walker and Najee Harris do a little bit better than 15 rushes for 60 yards and a touchdown every other game, like, then they're going to be a huge boost. Whereas getting a wide receiver at this point, like, my option here is Devonta Smith or DK Metcalf. Devonta Smith, I need him in order to match the scoring of the running backs. If he's going to catch, say, 4 passes, then he needs to make sure he gets to 60 yards and has a touchdown every other game. That's what he needs to average every single game. And I just would much rather trust the running backs, especially with the wide receivers that I'm going to be making up later on with all these kick returners. So Kenneth Walker, Najee Harris, and then go across the board to the guy in the 2 slot who's drafting at the 7-11 and the 8-02. This is not me, for clarification. He takes Marvin Mims and Khalil Shakir. Instant alarm bells go off to me of, okay, this is somebody else who understands the kick return scoring. Because I was hoping I could get Marvin Mims to come back to me at the 8-11. If you look at his ADP, he's going in like the 10th round or something like that, which I think is way too late. But I knew that there was the possibility that he ended up getting taken earlier. And so he ends up getting taken at the 7-11, and he comes back with Khalil Shakir at the 8-02. He obviously knows he's targeting kick returners, so I know I now have competition. I know that if I really want to get kick returners, that I need to play for drafting them a little bit earlier. So even though I only have one quarterback, I look at the board, and at the 8-11, there's still a bunch of guys. There's still Russell Wilson, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, Will Levis, Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Bryce Young, Daniel Jones. Like, Russell Wilson is my target out of that group, but there's just so many guys there that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to risk that I miss out on my ideal of Russell Wilson or Daniel Jones. My choices were really, I wanted Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones, or Drake May. And so I am going to go ahead and skip on my second quarterback. And I am going to draft myself Xavier Worthy because I think he could have upside with the Chiefs. And I think that he could be the punt returner for the Chiefs. So that just gives him an extra little boost. He gets extra little bit of yardage. So if he's got a little bit of rookie struggles, he comes on towards the end of the year, he's still getting those extra couple points, which can help put him over the edge. And I'm also going with Xavier Gibson. I know that this person that is across the board from me is targeting some of these returners. And I think Xavier Gibson is in prime position of, he did all the kick returns and punt returns last year for the Jets, and he was really good. And then he also ended up being the wide receiver 3 for the Jets last year. And I think he very well could be the wide receiver 3 again this year. And so he, to me, is a kick return, punt returner with upside. And I'm talking serious upside. If he ends up getting some Aaron Rodgers treatment of even just 3 receptions for 30 yards per game, all of a sudden that is 6 points on top of his average of 12 points from the kick returns, another 2 to 3 points from the punt returns, and you're telling me this guy's averaging 20 points per game. I see exactly how that happens. And so that's why I'm going to go with Xavier Gibson at the 9th round. So he's in my starting lineup as like, hey, I want to have this guy starting every single week. So we go around that guy that I was talking about that is targeting kick returners. He takes Tyjae Spears, somebody that we think is going to kick return for the Tennessee Titans based on what he did last year while also still being a running back. And then he also takes Jaden Reed. So I know he's still in on those kick returners. So guess what? It comes back to me and I know I have a decision to make. In between that entire time from the 902 to the 1011, no quarterbacks went off the board. I was very surprised by that. I thought for sure that there would be some quarterbacks that went off the board and I might potentially miss out on my Russell Wilson. Nope, not a single one went. I was the same position that I was at the 811 and 902, whether I wanted to take a quarterback. Guess what? I'm at the 1011 and I still have all my same options. So you know what? Bite the bullet here. I'll take my Russell Wilson. The turn comes back around to me and I'll take Josh Downs. Josh Downs, kick returner, that it can also potentially do some punt returns, that has some upside. So there we go. I've got Josh Downs, I got Russell Wilson, and so my roster in terms of actual people that are that fill the starting lineup is set. So that starting lineup roster is Justin Herbert, Bijan Robinson, Rashid Shaheed, Mark Andrews, Jonathan Taylor, Kenneth Walker, Najee Harris, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Gibson, and Russell Wilson. So now what is my strategy? My strategy is to get as many players that I think can come in and fill lineup spots. What lineup spots do I need to fill? When I need to fill some flex spots. Because realistically, I'm not going to be able to ever match Mark Andrews. I have Jonathan Taylor to fill in for Bijan Robinson. And Rashid Shaheed is never going to be able to be matched. So I just plug in any wide receiver that I can there if I need to on his bye week. So, all right. So now I just need to make sure that I am filling in high upside bench plays. So Josh Downs is that 11th round pick because he's got the kick return and he could potentially be really good depending on exactly how the Colts use him and how he fits into this offense. And then a ton of quarterbacks go off the board. At the 12-11, by the time we get there, every quarterback that we know has a consistent starting job is gone. Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, Will Levis, Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Bryce Young, Daniel Jones, Drake May. Every single one of them goes off the board. So I'm like, all right, at the 12-11, I'd kind of like to get Justin Fields just because, you know, Russell Wilson is the quarterback in Pittsburgh. And if he loses the job, I'll have the other quarterback in Pittsburgh. And Justin Fields has a lot of upside. So you know what? I'll want Justin Fields. But I'm looking at the guy at the turn. He got Caleb Williams and Kirk Cousins. I'm like, I don't think he'll go for Justin Fields. So you know what? Let me make sure that he doesn't take the other guy that I really want. And so I draft Xavier Leggett. Xavier Leggett did a bunch of returning in college. He was really good at it. Carolina's returner right now is Raheem Blackshear. And while he was good, I wouldn't necessarily say he was somebody that is going to completely box out somebody like Xavier Leggett. I don't think he's that good. Even though, personally, he went to Virginia Tech, same as I did. Like, I love him. But it got to be realistic. I think Xavier Leggett has a serious upside play. And so I draft Xavier Leggett. Then, unfortunately, on the turn, Justin Fields gets taken from me. So now, when I get to the 1302, I am now scrambling. I'm like, what do I do? And this is where you have to start playing into, okay, what am I going to do to allocate for this season? Scott Fishbowl, there is no trading. So what you need to do is plan for how am I going to augment my team from waivers? And when I look at waivers, at the beginning of the year, I like to know where I'm placing my budget. That way, when I get to week one, I know how much budget I should spend on what position, or if I need to be waiting to hold on to it, etc. That way I don't blow everything and I'm missing out on something I really need later on in the season. And I make the decision that rather than trying to get myself like a Jacoby Brissett, rather than trying to get myself a Gardner Minshew or something like that, I'm just going to roll into the season with Justin Herbert and Russell Wilson. And I will pick up quarterbacks off of waivers if I need to. So knowing that is my plan now, I understand that is what I'm going to be spending the majority of my fab on. I'm going to be trying to get backup quarterbacks as needed in order to fill into the quarterback position. And hopefully I can get some upside guys that have a little bit more rushing. Like maybe, I don't know, Joshua Dobbs is somebody that becomes relevant or something like that. That's what I'm looking for. But realistically, I'm not even sure if he'll make it out of the draft, somebody like Joshua Dobbs. I think that that's somebody that people might try and just pick up and stash, especially with this being a lineup league. Like, it doesn't hurt you to have those extra backup quarterbacks. So I'm going to have some allocated to that. I'm going to allocate a bunch of the rest of my money to picking up kick returners. I know the impact kick returners are going to have. I am banking my entire team's strategy on the kick returners. And so I want to have as many of them and hoard them from the rest of my league. I want to make sure I'm the only one that has kick returners to fill my lineup. And if I always have all the kick returners, I can play all the ones that have upside and that aren't just solo kick returners. So that's my plan. And so knowing that, I'm like, okay, I just need to go in and make sure that I am focused in on these kick returners that potentially have upside. Who is next on my list here? And it is Antonio Gibson. So I draft Antonio Gibson here at the 1302, and that is where we are at now. So currently my draft is up to the 1309, and I am waiting for it to come back around to me. My next pick is at the 1411. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more picks left in this draft. So what is my plan? I have a plan of potentially looking at getting a top-tier kicker. If potentially Brandon Aubrey comes back around to me at the 1411, I am going to draft him. Justin Tucker just went off at the 1304, so I think Aubrey probably doesn't make it back to me. Even looking at the Dynasty Data Lab, Justin Tucker, on average, ended up going off at the 1307. Brandon Aubrey is going off at the 1409. So there's the possibility Aubrey makes it back to me, but realistically, I am not sure that that even happens. So if I miss out on Aubrey, I am going to end up punting the kicker position until I get like my 12th kicker or something like that. There's some different scoring settings with the kickers. They get 3.3 points for every extra point. So just targeting high volume offenses is more than enough. So you look at the kickers, like I might be targeting the Eagles kicker, I might be targeting the Houston kicker or the San Francisco kicker. Like literally any time there is a score, I'm looking for the most number of scoring drives, because that 3.3 points for extra point is honestly not worth that much less than a field goal. If I don't need to gamble on field goals and I could just gamble on, hey, this team's going to score a lot of touchdowns, that's a great week out of my kicker. So if Brandon Aubrey comes back to me, I'm going to go for that. If not, just pass until, I would say until the 22nd round. It depends on how many other kickers go in front of me. If there's still a high volume offense that I really, really like, that I think is going to have a lot of scoring opportunities, then I am going to draft that kicker. If there's not, let's say my league goes, they target the Kansas City, the Philadelphia, the Houston, the Buffalo, the San Francisco, and I'm left, I'm staring at the Vegas, the Rams, and Denver. Like, those are the top ones by ADP right now. Like, I'm just going to pass on kicker, not draft one, and just pick one up before week one. There will be some available on waivers, and it'll be fine, and what it will allow me to do is to have an extra spot for what I'm going to fill the rest of my draft with, and that is a bunch of kick returners. The only player I'm considering at this point that is not a kick returner or has at least some return ability in their profile is Isaiah Likely. Because I have Mark Andrews, because of that injury history, because of the fact that it's very easy to roster the Isaiah Likely zero every single week and then plug him in as soon as Mark Andrews is hurt and know that you're getting the upside, I have a lot of reason to want to get Isaiah Likely. I know for a fact I am playing Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely every single week. I am not getting myself a third tight end. I do not care that they are both on the Baltimore Ravens. I have talked about tight ends don't matter. I will play tight ends don't matter for 1 week, and then I will just have top tier tight end every other week. So that's what I'm going to do. If Isaiah Likely makes it back to me at the 14-11, I'm going to take him. Otherwise, oh well. I didn't get Isaiah Likely. I'm riding on Mark Andrews making it to the rest of the season. This is also a tournament style format. So realistically, if I lose Mark Andrews, I'm already not doing well anyway. So I am just going to make every other player a kick returner. So who am I looking at? I'm looking at Greg Dortch. I'm looking at Ricky Pearsall, DJ Dallas, Cordero Patterson, Ray McLeod, Avery Williams, Devin Duvernay, Ty Johnson, Raheem Blackshear, Laviska Shenault, and Travion Williams. That's currently who's in my queue. I might dig through and find some more. I might try to find some guys that potentially could be looking at getting some punt return duties or something like that. But that's my current list, and those are the guys that I'm going to be trying to draft here through the rest of it. If that brings me through all 9 picks that I have remaining, great. But I do have that other guy who is drafting kick returners. He did not draft kick returners at the 11th and 12th rounds. He got himself the Jackson Smith and Jigba and Geno Smith stack. I personally think that was a dumb move because Jackson Smith and Jigba doesn't have any of those any of those return stats. He does not have and then Geno Smith is his third quarterback. Like, I think Geno Smith's a pretty crappy quarterback in these scoring settings, and so you start putting it together, I'm like, I think he kind of wasted those 2 picks. He's kind of invested into the returners, but that is what I'm looking at. I'm hoping that I can get a bunch of returners or players that have the ability to return, and I'm going to fill up my roster with them. Anyone that I think has a decent chance at winning a return job, that's who I'm targeting. Because what that means is when we get to that waiver run right before the season, I am going to be able to drop those guys and pick up the guys that are actually returning if I guess wrong. And so that's going to be my pre-week one targets. That's going to be my post-week one targets. Just get all the returners. Get all the guys that are going out there, because those are where the points are coming from at a replacement level. And that's what I'm investing this entire team into. If I am totally wrong on what the kick return rules are going to be, and I don't think 60% of kickoffs don't get returned, well, that's going to be a problem for my team. But I've invested in there 100% anyway. If I would much rather, in this tournament-style format, invest all the way or none of the way. And so I chose to go all the way into it, and so that's what my team is going to look like. If you think this is ridiculous, if you think that I should have done something totally different, reach out to me. Tweet at me on X at Dynasty Koopa. Talk to me in the Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you want to join the South Harmon Discord, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Tell me whether you think my idea is great. Tell me whether you think it's horrible. But that's how I'm approaching this league, and that's where you kind of hear how my strategy changed a little bit. I had to look at each pick and go, what do I want to do now that I'm here? I thought about potentially getting that quarterback in 302. I even identified that Jaden Daniels would be the kind of quarterback I want to get. But it turns out that I realized I want that tight end there, and I realized that on the clock. I didn't lock myself in beforehand. I didn't have this grand plan of, all right, I'm going to get Mark Andrews there at the 302, and if he's not there, Jaden Daniels is my backup, because he'll still be available, because if Mark Andrews is there, a bunch of tight ends went off the board. No, I had the general plan of, I want to get a quarterback and a tight end in this range if I can. I want to get them in the 3-4-5. And so that is because of that analysis that I did beforehand. That's how I was set up. So when I was on the clock, I was able to make the final determination. I did not need to go through and pre-plan everything, and my entire plan goes to crap as soon as somebody takes a pick different than I was expecting. The plan can be flexible, and you just need to constantly reevaluate, okay, what is my ideal team? My ideal team, if I was picking in the first part, if I had the 101 or the 102, then I could have taken a Josh Allen. I could have taken a Jalen Hurts, and I would have a totally different team build, because now I have a top tier quarterback, but I don't have a top tier running back. In my case, I went double top tier running back. And that's because in my mind, that's where the warp lands. Even though one of those running backs is going to take the flex spot, it means that my running back position, even on bye weeks, even for a short-term injury, it's always going to have a top-tier guy. And so that's my positional advantage. And then I gave myself positional advantages as a tight end and wide receiver. So I'm fine with quarterback not being a positional advantage. I just need it to not be a positional weakness. And so that's what I was aiming for. But going through and thinking of, this is how I'm going to build my team. This is how I'm going to make sure that I have the players week after week to put into my lineup that I feel confident about. That's how I approach this draft. And this is how I approach other drafts. This is how I approach even dynasty drafts. How do I fill out this roster? Is it lineup versus best ball? In best ball, it's different. In best ball, you want more players than you see in your starting lineup. So I account for that. I'm willing to go further than the number of players that actually fit into the positions when I'm thinking about how many players need to fit into my roster. So that's everything that I have for this week. As always, reach out to me if you have any questions, if you think I'm totally wrong, if you think I'm totally right. Get out there, do some exercises on your own. Make sure that you're figuring out what you need to do to make sure that you are ahead of your game. And as we get towards the time of year where you're going to be drafting a bunch of teams that are in more of this redraft kind of format, make sure that you're continuing to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge.